Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
When you come to the book of Genesis tonight, I love studying this book tonight. Just the other week, I came through here reading my daily devotion, going through the Bible the second time this year. And I love the book of Genesis tonight. If you don't have John Phillips' book on the book of Genesis, you ought to get it. But anyhow, having said that, I love studying this book tonight. The book of Genesis and Genesis itself tonight simply means beginning. By the way, I'll say this before I get started. About 6:30, I'm going to give you a break. You can go to the bathroom, go out, smoke, come back in, and I'll finish the message. He said I preached 2 hours, didn't he? So I don't want to disappoint him or you. Lord, I kill the service right there. Genesis, the word Genesis means beginning. I'm not going to preach 2 hours. I want y'all to see this. I got it off. Genesis means beginning tonight. It doesn't mean that God had a beginning because he doesn't have a beginning tonight. And he's always been. He's an eternal God tonight. And he's always been. He sees past time, present time, future time at the same time because he's an eternal God. But when you read the book of Genesis tonight, you don't read far in the book of Genesis. You'll begin to read about a man by the name Abram or Abraham. And when you study about Abram or Abraham tonight, you'll find there's a lot of good things can be said about him tonight. As a matter of fact, I was reading this morning in chapter 11. And I believe somewhere in chapter 11, maybe the first part of chapter number 12, you'll see the conversion of Abraham. And chapter 11, of course, he married Sarah there. And immediately after that, he come into chapter 12 here. And somewhere along there, you'll find the conversion of Abraham. Also in Genesis chapter 12 tonight, you'll see what's called the Abraham covenant tonight. And by the way, that covenant still stands true today. God will bless him and bless Israel, and God will curse him and curse Israel. That covenant is still true today. Also in chapter 12 tonight, if you said it, you'll find Abraham's compromise. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham makes a serious mistake. He takes his wife and takes Lot and goes off into Egypt. And when you study about that tonight, he winds up in Egypt. You know what? And by the way, there's a famine in the land, and he goes to Egypt. And can I just throw this out tonight? There's a lot of people miss the will of God over famine. There's a lot of Sunday school teachers miss the will of God over famine. There's a lot of preachers miss the will of God over famine. You say, what do you mean? Well, it may seem dead in your class. That doesn't mean that God's not there. It may seem dead in your church, but that doesn't mean that God's not blessing there. Famine, there's a lot of different famines talked in the Word of God. They go to Egypt because of a famine. Famine calls you to miss God. See, family can cause you to miss God. And may I say this, finances can cause you to get out of the will of God. So Abraham goes off into Egypt there and takes his wife and takes Lot with him. Abraham's compromise. It's not the will of God to go to Egypt. Abraham's compromise. It's not the will of God to go to Moab either. Amen. But anyhow, I want to say this tonight. At the latter part of chapter number 12, when you come to chapter 13, you see Abraham's confession. He comes back. He gets right with God. And you see his confession. Also in chapter 13, you see Abraham's concern. There was a concern, the Bible said there, how there was a strife between the lotsmen of Lot's men and the cattle, that those that kept cattle on Abraham's side. And there was a strife between them. Abraham said, let there not be a strife. Here's what you do. You go one way, and I'll go the other way. And you remember what the Bible said? The Bible said that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's so true. And he goes off into Sodom. And when you study your Bible and come to Genesis 18 here, you'll see Abraham's concern. God is getting ready to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, he is. He's getting ready to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happens here? At chapter number 18, Abraham begins to pray for him. Abraham begins to pray, God, I will spare that place because his nephew Lot and his family's there. And by the way, I don't know how long Lot stayed there. I know this. He stayed there long enough to get married. He stayed there long enough in Sodom to get married. He stayed there long enough to have children. Because he had grown children. How he sure did. How about you see Abraham's concern? How when come to Genesis 18 here tonight, God is getting ready here how to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And notice what happens here at Genesis chapter number 18. And by the way, can I just say this while I say that? In Genesis 18, if you study it, God sends three angels down to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at chapter 18, verse 2. And he lifted up his eyes. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men had stood by him when he saw them. There's three of them. And they're getting ready to deliver Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And there came how many? Two. Who is the other one? How there was three when he got come to Abraham's house. Who is the other one? And Bible said there's two angels that came to Sodom to get Lot out. Who was that other one? Can I tell you who it was? How that is none other than the Lord himself. And he stops off at Abraham's house and tells Abraham something to get ready to happen. Let's see what's getting ready to happen. Look at chapter 18. Bible said in verse number 10. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, and was which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah was old, and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah lamented in herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord be no law so. And notice verse 13. Bible said in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah life say? Shall I be surety by a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. Let's read the verse again, verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I life not. But she was afraid, and he said, nay, how about thou didst lie? I'm interested tonight in this verse right here. Look at verse 14. Bible said in verse 14, is there anything too hard for God? That's a great text. Are you hearing me? Is there anything too hard for God? You know, there's three great questions found in Genesis 18. I could preach on all of them, but I don't have time. The first one's right here in verse 14. Is there anything too hard for God? What a great question tonight. What a tremendous question. Look at verse 23. Bible said in verse 23, the latter part of it, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a great question. Look at verse number 25, latter part of verse 25. How shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's three great questions here in the Word of God. But don't deal with verse 14 tonight. Bible said, is there anything too hard for God? I say, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I want to remind you again what's happening right here. The Lord has stopped off at Abraham's house. And the Lord has had a talk here with Abraham. And don't you see what he tells him? First of all, he gives him a promise. Look at verse number 10. Bible said in verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which were behind him. Notice the problem. Notice the promise. God said to Abraham, you're going to have a child. Hey, Abraham, Sarah's going to have a son. Are you hearing me tonight? In other words, what he said to Abraham in verse 10 is this. Get the nursery ready. Get the nursery ready. But we got a problem. Look at verse number 11. By sin, verse 11. And Abraham and Sarah was old. By the way, he's 100. And she's 90. Hello, Tokyo. Oh, yeah. You hear what I just said? He's 100 years old. And she's 90. And the Bible said in this verse here, and Abraham and Sarah was old, and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Hey, listen to me now. You see a problem. And the question is here, and by the way, they've been married 70 years at this point. And God says, y'all going to have a child. My wife and I have been married 55 years. We'll be in just a few days. And my wife said this the other day. As she found out she was pregnant, she jumped off the Empire State Building. I'd probably jump off behind her. Are you hearing me? But here Abraham and Sarah is. They've been married 70 years. Sarah's 90 years old. Abraham's 100 years old. how, but God said there's nothing too hard for God. Lord, I feel God when I say that. Hey, there's nothing too hard for God. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what you may be going through tonight, but I got some good news this Sunday afternoon. Thank God there's nothing too hard for God. Can I say this before I preach tonight? If you study here, you'll find that God is an awesome God. Haven't you said about God? You know what the Bible said in Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55, the Bible said that God's ways are higher than the heavens. God's thoughts are higher than the heavens from your and I. You know, we live in a smart world. How we live in a world that's got a lot of technology. And a lot of this stuff going on. I don't even know how to operate the radio in my car. I'm not lying, I say that. And won't they make things simple? Next time we buy a car, I'm going to tell my wife, Google what's most simple for senior citizens. Are you hearing me? We're living in a smart world. Hey, we live in a world that's got a lot of technology. But watch this. Take all of our technology. Take all of our computer technology. Take all of our education and put it in a wheelbar. And take God's smallest thought and put it out with our big thoughts. And God's smallest thoughts will blow our big thoughts to kingdom come. Hello. Hey, I'm telling you that there's nothing. I'm telling you now, thank God, and there's a great God that you and I serve tonight. And there's nothing too hard for God. Can I give you this before I preach? Look at chapter 17. There's a reason that Abraham believed God. Why? You know, New Testament, he's called the friend of God. And may I say this to you now? There's a tremendous reason why Abraham had such faith in God. I don't have time to preach it. Look at chapter 17. Bible said in verse number 1, and Abram was 90 years old and dying. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, that just seemed like a simple little verse. But when you look at that verse, see what it's saying tonight, God is showing Abraham. I said, God is showing Abraham who he is. Look at the verse. Abram was 99 years old. In the Lord. You know this, I don't have to repeat it. Anytime you see Lord in the Old Testament and it capitalized, who's it talking about? Jehovah, always Jehovah. And may I say this to you tonight? Hey, he saw an Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm Jehovah God. Hey, Abraham, I'm Jehovah. Are you hearing me this evening? Oh, by the way, that's the same God. Exodus chapter number 3, that appears to Moses. God says to Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and lead my children out. And Moses had a speech problem. And Moses said, who am I going to tell Pharaoh that sent me down there? And God spoke to Moses and said this, you tell Pharaoh that I am, hello, that I am has sent you. You know who that is? That's Jehovah God. That's a self-existent God. That depends on nobody for nothing. Are you hearing me tonight? There ain't one of us self-existent. I don't even know what color socks to put on. I do not know how to dress myself. I am not self-existent. Are you hearing me tonight? My wife, I'm telling you. I fussed at her the other day. I was mad. I was upset. She moves my stuff. And I was trying to, matter of fact, these pins right here, I had all my thing. And I said, what have you done with my belt? She said, you got it on. But that's the truth. Hey, the God that you and I serve, he said, I am Abraham who he is. I am that I am tonight. He's a self-existing God. That depends on nobody for that. Notice the second word there. He said, I'm not only, he says in the verse, I'm not only Lord, but then he says, I'm Almighty. I don't have time to deal with that. How about the word Almighty is El Shaddai? El standing for strong. Shaddai standing for nursing. Strengthened. Hey, I'll tell you now, the same God we're serving tonight. Then he says this in the verse. He says, Abraham, then I'm God. Not only Almighty, but then I'm God. That's Elohim. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy. Here's what it means. He's a self-sufficient one. I'm telling you tonight, it means whatever you need tonight, he's able. There's nothing too hard for God. He's showing Abraham who he is tonight. And I'll just say this to you before I preach. I want you to know this tonight. The God that I serve and the God that you serve, he's not some old, gray-headed, feeble, hunchback, limping God sitting up in heaven, wringing his hands. What? That's not the God we serve. It's not the old man upstairs. I'm telling you, we serve a pretty big God tonight. I'm telling you, he walked out on nothing, spoke worlds into existence. That's nothing too hard for God. Now, with that in mind, tonight I'm going to give you three little thoughts. Then we'll break for break. Number one, I want to say, first of all, tonight, and everything I'm getting ready to say tonight is in the life. It's in the life of Abraham. I want to say, first of all, tonight, out of this text tonight, I want to say the question is asked here, is there anything too hard for God? I could start with Brother Stan and his wife over here and go down this side and come up this side, down this side, and up this side and ask you this question. What do you need tonight? What are you praying about? What are you trusting God for? Oh, my soul. Oh, y'all hear me. I see some pretty big things in the future that I like to do in the ministry. And I'll tell you tonight, there's nothing too hard for God. I'll give you three things and I'm done. Number one, I'll say, first of all, in the life of Abraham, you'll find that Abraham was a praying man. I read this the other day. There's nobody in the Old Testament that built more altars than Abraham. There's nobody in the Old Testament that prayed more than Abraham. Matter of fact, if you look in chapter number 12, don't turn. Chapter number 12, you'll find in verse number 8, Abraham builds an altar and he calls on God. At Genesis 13, verse number 4, Abraham builds another altar. Now Abraham calls on God. At Genesis 13, 8, you'll find him praying again. At Genesis 13, 18, you'll find him building another altar. At Genesis chapter 15, verse number 2, you'll find him praying again. At Genesis 17, verse 3, you'll find him praying again. And all down through this chapter here, he's a praying to God that he'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He's a praying man. With that in mind, I'll say this. There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. Hello. I said there's never been a prayer prayed that God, I don't know what you're praying about tonight. I don't know what your burden is tonight. I don't know what your situation is tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight, thank God, there's never been a prayer prayed, thank God, that he can't answer this evening. Oh, my soul, are you hearing me? You know, he's more than a house payment. He's more than a car payment, and he's interested in those things. Don't misunderstand that statement. But I'll tell you tonight, he can do the exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How may I say to you tonight, has never been a prayer prayed. Had God, hello, my soul, hear me tonight. I'm trying to tell you tonight, has nothing too hard for God. And there's nothing too hard for God. Has never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. I want to ask you a question. What are you praying about tonight? You know, a lot of us will pray them little prayers. If God don't come through, we'll fix it. That's not the way God operates tonight. I'm telling you tonight, there's never been a prayer prayed that he can't answer tonight. I thought about this scripture. Acts chapter number 12. In Acts chapter 12, don't turn, but in Acts chapter number 12, you'll find that Herod is already, he's a wicked man, by the way. Herod the king, he's already killed James. And they had Peter put in prison. And after Easter, they're going to bring Peter forth on 11 days. After Easter is what he's talking about. He put Peter in jail. And after Easter, they're going to bring Peter forth and cut his head off. And guess what happened? They got old Peter in jail. And the Bible said that he laid down and went to sleep. I want to ask you a question. They're going to bring you out of jail tomorrow and cut your head off. Would you lay down and go to sleep? That's what happened to Peter. And Peter's laying there asleep. You know why I know Peter? You know why Peter could lay down and go to sleep? Because Peter went to sleep on a promise. You say, what do you mean? You remember John 21? And John 21, Jesus said, Simon, when thou art old. Hello, that's a promise. Are you here? He went to sleep on a promise. And may I say this to you tonight? Hear me and hear me well. How Peter's laying there asleep. God and their prayer made that John Mark's house for him. They're calling on God. Let me ask you a question. How'd you like to be in jail tonight? And tomorrow, they're going to bring out cut your head off. And you're trusting on the average Baptist church down the road to pray you out of jail tonight. I got one thing to say, baby. You might all have your wheel fixed. Are you hearing me? That's exactly what happened. They're praying for him. John Mark's house. No, Simon Peter's laying there asleep. And while he's laying there asleep, God dispatched an angel from heaven. Smote Peter on the side. Had to wake him up. You remember that? He lay in there asleep. Had to wake him up. Woke old Peter up. Hey, get out to the front gate. Get out to the front door. It opens on its own accord. Hey, get out to the main gate. Big old gate by itself. It opens on its own accord. Simon Peter goes one way. The angel goes the other way. And Peter goes down to John Mark's house and knocks on the door. I love this story. And that little damsel come to the door. And in those days, they had a little window, a little thing square that they would open before they opened the main door. And I can see her. She opens that little door. And she sees Simon Peter standing there. And she goes running back into that crowd and said, "Hey, guess who's at the door?" And said, "Who's at the door?" She said, "Simon Peter." You know what they said to her? They said, "You're mad. You've lost." That's the same word we get our word maniac from. "You've lost your mind." Listen to me now. They prayed a prayer and got it answered, and they didn't even believe it. Hey, there's nothing, are you hearing me? There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. Oh, my soul, I don't know what you're praying about. I don't know what your situation is tonight. There's a God in heaven, thank God, that answers prayer, are you hearing me? I love the story of Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 17:18. I love that story. I love that story. Let the God that answers by fire be God. And you know the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And the God that's going to answer by fire is going to be the Lord, going to be God. And Elijah, being the gentleman that he was, he let the Baal gods go first. And they erected the altar. They built. They worked hard on it. Study your Bible. And they built that altar. And they put it all together. They put water on it, filled the trenches with water and all that. And they got down and called on their god Baal. And if you study your Bible, they prayed 6 hours. And guess what happened? Zero. Nothing. That's what happened. Their god Baal. He's dead. Are you hearing me? And when they get done, Elijah said, "Get out of the way." I love that story. You read it, it's almost comical what Elijah said. Elijah said, "Cry a little louder. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's out of town. Just call a little loud." Elijah made fun of him. Are y'all with me tonight? And when he gets done, he gets him out of the way. And the Bible said that he repaired the altar of the Lord. And Elijah got down on his knees and prayed 63 words. They prayed 6 hours. He prayed about 60 seconds and the fire of God fell. Hey, there's never been a prayer prayed to God. Hear me tonight. I don't know what you're praying about. And I really don't know why the Lord laid this particular message on my heart tonight. You may be here tonight, boy, you've been praying about this or that. I got some good news tonight, friend. Hey, just keep praying. Thank God. There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. There's an old preacher in Western North Carolina. I'm a thanking Murphy, but I'm not sure about the location. That's known for praying. Everybody far and wide goes, get this old man of God to pray for him. I've heard preachers up in there talk about this old man of God. I think he's still alive. And just an old mountain preacher. Never got his name the sword of the Lord. Never hardly been out of the county from what I understand. But you're talking about getting a hold of God. Remind me of my daddy. You're talking about getting a hold of God. They'll go to him from far and wide and get people to get him to pray for him. Some of the preachers in that area went to him one day and said, tell you what you need to do. You need to write a book about your prayer life. And of course, he said, I'm not writing no book. I'm not going to do that. He just wanted to do it. And after a few months went by, he decided to write the book. And in the book, it only had two words. Do it. Do it. That's what it said. Just do it. I'll tell you something tonight. There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. I'm telling you, I can witness that tonight. I'm not a good person. I ought to be in hell, and I know that tonight. But I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I've seen God move when nobody knew anything about it. Ain't not told nobody about it. I've seen the hand of God. Hear me tonight. There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. I want to say number two out of this text tonight. We're doing good right now. It's 5 minutes after five. Notice number two. It's Alabama time, by the way. But notice this. Not only has never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer, but don't you look in this text again tonight. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which were behind him. And Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the matter of women. Therefore Sarah lied within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Hey, ladies, you see what she called her husband? L-O-R-D. Did y'all see that right there? It's in the Bible. It's King James. And are you listening? The Bible's in this verse here, verse 12. And then Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Now, I want to ask you a quick question. Will you agree with me she's got a problem? Let me ask you this way. How many has ever seen a woman 90 years old? I got scared yesterday. I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't know you was expecting. I got scared yesterday. I came by here to pick up a book, and the preacher told me what it would be, and I went in to get it and had my old clothes on, old camouflage. I looked worse than Ernest T. Bass, old hat pulled down. And I noticed the end of the hall, this lady back here and this lady over here, I didn't know they was in that Sunday school class. I just kind of walked up the door and I thought, I'm going to have a little fun. I said, hey! I'm sorry. I didn't know you was expecting. Are you hearing me? But here's my question. There's another funny story happened here yesterday too. Let's preach today about that later. A woman brought food here as opposed to went to another church yesterday. You say, what'd you do? I told her to leave it. Is that what I said? Well, watch this. How many's ever seen a woman 90 years old expecting? I've never seen a woman 90 years old pregnant. I've never seen a woman 80 years old expecting. I've never seen a woman 75 years old. I remember when Jeremiah was born, our first grandbaby, 29 years ago. I remember that Saturday afternoon that Rebecca went to the hospital. It was June the 1st. And I remember that Saturday afternoon when she went to the hospital. Jan and I wanted to be there when Jeremiah, our first grandbaby, was born. So we rushed down to the hospital in Concord. We stayed there and we stayed there and we stayed there and we stayed there and we stayed there. And I don't know what happened that night. But during the night, evidently it was a full moon or something. I don't know what it was. There must have been 40 women come in there. Some of them looked like they was 14 months. Are you hearing me? Not a one of them I thought was 80 years old. Not a one of them I thought was 75 years old. Not a one of them I thought was 65 years old. Not a one of them I thought was 60 years old. Not a one of them I thought, I don't know where that stops, I'm going to hush. Are you hearing me? Listen. Would you agree with me they got a problem right here? Hey, Sarah's 90 years old, but wait a minute. Here's a double problem about Sarah. In Genesis chapter number 11, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 29, her and Abraham gets married. And verse number 30, the Bible said Sarah was barren. It's not that she's 90 years old and can't have a baby. She's not only 90 years old and can't have a baby. She's barren. God had shed her womb. You say, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. There's never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. But I'll say number two, ain't never been a problem so big that God can't solve. Hell, I love that. Ain't never been a problem so big that God can't solve tonight. Would you agree they got a problem? Huh? Brother Mike McDaniel's my wife and his wife met some time ago to eat dinner together. And I told Brother Mike, I said, preacher, you and Miss Helen, y'all are our close friends. And Jan and I just want y'all to be the first to know that we're going to have a baby. Mike said, okay, Abraham, okay, Miss Sarah, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? She's 90. Abraham, and by the way, Abraham's 100. And according to the book of Hebrews, he's dead. His body, his seed, he's dead. But I'll tell you tonight, there's not a problem so big that God can't solve. He speak worlds into existence. He bring beauty out of ashes. Hey, there's never been a problem so big that God can't solve tonight. There's all kinds of problems. I've been out of the pastorate now for several years. Preachers tell me stuff goes on in churches. That's as dumb as a sack of doorknobs that they have to put up with this day and time. It's crazy, man. Some of the stuff, y'all, if you've ever prayed for your pastor and his wife, I'm preaching good, are y'all hearing me? I said, wake up, look up here. If you've ever prayed for your pastor and his wife, you need to do that right now. Well, not right now, but when you get done with service. Are you hearing me? Pray for them. They need it tonight. There's spiritual problems. There's social problems. There's financial problems. There's domestic. There's all kinds of problems tonight. My wife and I went through a situation. I'm not at liberty to tell the whole story. Some time ago, I couldn't tell nobody about it. I couldn't share it with nobody else. She couldn't share it with nobody else. Only her and I know what I'm talking about right now. And only God could fix it. I said only God could fix it. And the more I prayed and the more she prayed, the worse it got. The more I prayed and the more she prayed, the worse it got. We took days and fasted and prayed about this particular situation. And it seemed like the more we prayed, the worse it got. But I'll tell you, in the end of God, and in God's time and in God's way, I'm telling you, He took care of that situation. I look back on it tonight and say, hallelujah. Hey, we serve a big God tonight. It's never been a problem so big that God can't solve. Here's what happens. God specializes in hard cases. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I'll promise you tonight, God specializes in hard. It may look like it's never going to happen. It may look like your young is never going to get saved. It may look like that marriage is never going to get put back together. It may look like tonight that situation, your job is never going to be solved. It may look like, and praise me, I got a neighbor's got 27 cats. I come home the other night, open the garage door, we're online. I come on the other night, hope I get my message. I come home the other night, open my garage door, and six of them stupid things run my garage. Are you hearing me? And I get one out, three come back in. Y'all know what I started to do? Hello, I'm moving on. But listen to me. There's never been a problem so big. It may be a neighbor problem. It may be a neighborhood. It may be a sphere. Addition to that, it's never been a problem so big that God can't solve tonight. Israel gets down to the Red Sea. When they get down to the Red Sea and start across, they turn around and here comes Pharaoh and his army. Boy, all them chariots and all his hosts of Egypt, that Egyptian army. And Israel says, let's turn around and go back. Let's go back. Moses said, stand still. But God said, go forward. Are you hearing me? And I don't say tonight, you don't have a problem that God can't take care of tonight. Hear me tonight. We worry ourselves to death. Don't ask y'all a question. Do you ever go home at night and go to bed? And get in the bed, and your body lays down, but your brain don't lay down. You ever have a problem with that? I mean, everything is relaxed, everything's laying there. Everything's shut down, except your brain. Nod your little heads at me. I have a problem with that sometimes. And I'll tell you, as long as I lay there and try to figure that out, as long as I lay, here's what we do when problems come. Men are the best in the world at this. Men are going to fix it. Man fixes it. Women worries. So here's the deal. When problems come, we as men, we pull out all our little lifeboats. We'd fix that. We'd take care of that. But that's no problem. I think I can handle that. I'm smarter than that. And the more you mess with it, the more I mess with it, the worse it gets. Hello? And the whole time, God is sitting over in the corner with his arms crossed just like this and says, have at it, big boy. Just help yourself. Do what you want to. Just help yourself. But when you get out of the way and give it to me, I'll take care of it. I'm preaching good. Does everybody hear me tonight? There's never been a problem so big that God can't solve. I don't care what it is tonight. I'm telling you, God is able. Oh, my soul. I thought about this. Abraham, sir, got ahead of God. When you look in Genesis 16, that's one time Abraham should have never listened to his wife. He told Hagar, his handmaid, sir, said, take her, lie with her. And he did. Here come Ishmael. Ishmael's still around today. Are y'all hearing me? What a problem. I got ahead of God. Hear me tonight. Don't you? There's never been a problem so big God can't solve. We say here tonight, and I hear in this good church, good fundamental Bible preaching church, and you're sitting here in your mind, you're saying, oh, yes, I know about that problem, but there's no way. Oh, yes, church, away. God's able tonight. I give this, and I give one more point, we're going home. I was preaching in South Carolina. Got done preaching one night, last night of the meeting, by the way. And this woman came to the altar, and everybody in the church gathered around this lady and prayed with her. They sung, Brother Ted, they sung 97 verses of Just As I Am. They just kept singing. She just stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. Everybody in the church prayed with her. After everybody got done praying with her and went back to pew, she's still there in the altar beside the pastor. Pastor looked at me and done this. And I looked down at him and done this. I mean, I couldn't help that woman. I didn't have a clue what she was going through. I bowed down beside her and I said, ma'am, could I help you pray about something? Talking about problems. Never been a problem so big that God can't solve. I said, ma'am, are there something I'd help you pray about? She said, yes, sir. I said, what is it? She said, somebody stole my children. I said, do what? She said, somebody stole my children. And I asked her the third time. I said, what do you mean? And she looked at me with a stone face and said this, what part of that don't you understand? Somebody stole my children. I said, oh. I didn't know what in the world saved that woman. And Holy Ghost said, read her out John 15. And I read where the Bible said, if two of you on earth will agree as touching on the same thing, there I'll be in the midst. And I said, ma'am, here's what I'm going to do. I'm leaving tonight, but I'm going to claim this promise with you. Children, word of God, I'm going to claim this promise with you. We're going to pray and trust God to get your children. She really did. She had about 7-8 children. Somebody really stole her children in the state of Florida, stole them out of the car, stole them. That's the truth. And I said, ma'am, I'm going to claim the promise with you. We're going to trust God, put your family back together, get your children back together. I've never heard that in my life. And so after that night, I closed the meeting. I left. About a year later, I was back in that area preaching under a gospel tent. Got done preaching one night, and a lady from the back walked up the front and said, you know me? I said, well, sure, I know you. I didn't have a clue who she was. Here's the deal. If you'll be quiet, they'll tell you who they are. But if they don't tell you, then you have to ask them to forgive you for lying. But anyhow, I said, yeah, I know you. She said, you remember preaching over here? Woman come to the altar, and she went through the story about her young'un's been gone. I said, yes, ma'am, I remember that. She said, preacher, ain't nothing too hard for God. She said, look on the back row. And I looked on the back row of that tent. I ain't never seen many young'uns in my life. The whole back row. She said, preacher, there's nothing too hard for God. Oh, y'all hear me preach tonight. Oh, hear me tonight. Never been a prayer prayed God can't answer. Never been a problem so big God can't answer. I close with this. When I look at Lot's life in this text here in Genesis 19, Genesis 18, when I look at the life of Lot, here's what I would say. He's as lost as a ball in high grace. I can't think of anything more wickeder than giving your daughters to a bunch of homosexuals. That's what he was getting ready to do. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm in the Bible. I can't think of anything more wickeder than that. And he sure did that. Matter of fact, you know where the Moabites come from? Y'all know where the Moabites come from? That awful relationship between Lot and his daughter. And when I look at Lot tonight, here's what I say. That man is lost as a ball in high grace. What a wicked person. What a wicked, wicked person. But there's two reasons I know he's saved. I know he's saved, number one, because God got him out before the judgment hand of God ever failed. And God's going to get the church out here before the judgment hand of God falls. Number two, I know he's saved because of what Simon Peter said. Simon Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, 8 and 9. That just man, that righteous man, that's his righteous soul. Here's my thought. If God can save Lot, he can save anybody. y'all get what I just said? I said, if God can save Lot, He'd save anybody. Get my thought and I'm done. Not anything too hard for God. Never been a prayer prayed He can't answer. Never been a problem so big that God can't solve. Number three, never been a person so wicked that God can't save. Isn't that good? I don't care how wicked they are. I don't care how vile they are. I'm telling you tonight, there's never been a person so wicked that God can't save. You fellas, we work in the jail together, and you ladies, and thank y'all so much. All you that come to jail, I'm busy on Friday, and I don't sit talk to y'all like I ought to. I'm not stuck up. I've just got other things on my mind. And I appreciate you coming. I really do. All of you that come and helping that jail, man. What a wonderful reward in jail. What a rewarding thing that is. Two professions of faith on Friday. And we see some wicked, vile people. I mean wicked people get saved. And I know there's some of the brethren look down our nose at us and look down at look down on this church because we go to them places. All I know is they just keep looking because I'm going to keep going. Because sometimes some of them will get saved. And God, listen to me, there's never been a person so wicked that God cannot save. Don't quit praying for your loved one. Don't give up on them. I'm telling you, if they breath in their body and God speaking to their heart, God, I said God can save them tonight. Many years ago, I'm done. Many years ago, I was going down the road today. Your wife will tell the truth. Going down the road today, I said, I ain't never preached there. She said, you've got real close to it. But anyhow, I'm done. Never been a person so wicked God can't save. Never been a problem so big that God can't solve. And never been a prayer prayed that God can't answer. I'll give you this and I'm done. I don't care who your loved one is, how wicked, how vile they are. Hey, we had old boy saved Friday. He had meth sores all over him. You know what I'm talking about? Sick. Sick looking. Terrible. Brand new guy just had come in. I'm telling you, that junk, that dope will kill you. Are you hearing me? All over him. It's awful. But he got born again. He got washed in the blood. But here's what I started to say. Never been a person so wicked that God can't save. Years and years ago, I told this here before. Years and years ago, I was going to a revival meeting. It would have been probably in the early, middle 90s. I was preaching a revival in Stony Point, North Carolina. And I stopped at Moxville, North Carolina, to buy me a new hat. Like my head gets wet sometimes when I preach, and I put a hat on, keeps from getting sore throat. And I went into Moore's Department Store. Y'all don't even remember that. Moore's Department Store. To buy me a new hat. And I was by myself. I think it was like on a Wednesday. Nobody went with me that night, just the trio and I. And so, y'all know the trio, don't you? And so I went in to buy that new hat. I'm here in here, and I hate doing that. Nicholas, I hate it. Every time I try one of them hats on, I feel them cooties. You don't know who's had that hat on. I tried on them new hats. Two aisles over from me, there's a black man and a white woman arguing about to get in a fight. I thought, dear Lord, I'm getting my hat and get out of here. And all of a sudden, that black boy come up to me and said, you worked there, and that woman worked there. That black boy said, hey, man, you're a reverend, aren't you? I said, absolutely not. I'm not a reverend. And by the way, that's just the Bible twice has reference to God. I said, Holy Ghost said, you better tell him the truth. I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. He said, wonderful. He said, this woman over here is going to hell. I'm trying to get her saved. And you know what they's arguing about, Brother Ted? Eternal security. They's arguing about eternal security. I heard it. I heard what they's arguing about. He said, come over here and talk to her. I said, there ain't no way. My dad told me a long time ago, if you're arguing about religion or politics, run. So I wasn't going to talk to her. Got my hat, walked up to the counter to pray for my hat. Guess who waited on me? That little white lady waited on me. I paid her for it, started out the door. She said, wait a minute. I said, what? She said, what do you think about eternal security? I said, ma'am, eternal security is not the issue. She said, well, just what is the issue? I said, the issue is this right here. If you died right now, your heart ceased to beat, your blood pressure drops, you drop dead right where you stand, are you going to heaven or hell? Ooh. And I said that, but the tears swelled up in her eyes. She began to weep, and I began to preach. I said, I got some good news, Mom. You don't have to go to hell. Christ died for you, and I went right down through the gospel telling the story. And about halfway through that, somebody pecked me on the back. I turned around and looked, and it was the manager of the store. He said, sir, you're not allowed to do that in here. I said, I already have. So I didn't know the whole story. I got the woman by the arm, middle-aged woman, took her outside, laid my Bible across the hood of my car right in front of the courthouse, Davie County, Knoxville, North Carolina, laid my Bible across the hood of my car and took her to Calvary, told her the whole story. How Jesus loved her, how Christ died for her, told her the whole story. She said, I just a boo-hoo. And I said, now I got some good news, Mama. Jesus loves you. Christ will save you. And I said, now you got to ask him. I can't save you, but you got to ask him. And I bowed my head and had prayer with her and asked the Lord to save her. When I got done praying, I looked up at her. She wasn't crying. She wasn't smiling. She wasn't doing nothing. I said, ma'am, did you not understand what I just said? She said, I understood every word you said. But she said, preacher, she began to weep, God can't save me. And I made a mistake by asking why. Come to find out, she's an old ex-prostitute. I don't even think she knew who the daddy of some of her children were. Her life was in a mess. I never heard such a story in my life. She got done. I said, wait just a minute. Will you let me read you one more verse? And I flipped on the book of Timothy and I read this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus come into the world, save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I said, Mom, you're pretty bad, but I got some good news. She said, what? I said, he's already saved the worst. He done saved the worst one. And if he saved him, he'll save you. I said, I'm going to pray with you again. All you got to do is ask him and mean it from your heart. You got to ask him. I can't save you. You got to ask him yourself. I prayed with her again. I got done praying, looked up at her. She's smiling and crying at the same time. I said, how about it, Mama? She said, he did. He did. I grabbed that old ex-prostitute, hugged her real good. You say you didn't hug. I did right on Main Street, right before God and everybody else. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, there's never been a person so wicked that God can't save. Lord, have mercy. Give them a track. Tell them about you. I don't care how wicked, how vile. Are you hearing me tonight? There's not anything too hard for the Lord. I won't say this, and I'm done. Don't play, just come. Listen to me. I watched y'all while I was preaching tonight. I'm done. I watched y'all while I was preaching. You know what you folk over here were doing? Brother Stan, you know what these people were doing? Not all of them, but some of them was doing this. And I looked in this section. Probably there's a few more in this section doing this. Really listening good. Nicholas was asleep, but everybody else was listening. I looked in this section, and here's what I thought. Robert knows my next point. He don't remember 34 years ago. Are you listening? You're shaking your little heads at me. And that's what y'all was doing over here. You know what that tells me? That tells me you probably got a prayer request tonight. An urgent prayer request tonight. I tell you what else I think. You probably got a problem. If you don't, you're the first person I've met in a long time that don't. We all have problems. I've been going through some stuff in my personal life. Last few weeks, I don't understand it. But I know this. When I can't track him, I can trust him. He always does right. I don't always understand, but he always does right. He's always faithful. Thank you for that lesson. Hey, there's not a problem somebody can't solve. Your loved one, it looks like it's never, ever, ever, ever going to get saved. Won't you spread him out before God right here on this altar?